I want to welcome you to CCV on each of our six campuses throughout the valley. We're in the middle of a series entitled Courageous, and we began with part one saying that if you're going to have courage, you need to think big. If we're not careful, most of us, our problems are big and our God is small. So what we said is you need to have your problems small and have a big God. Our God is able to do more than we can think or ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. Last week, we talked about if you're going to be courageous, you need to overcome your fear because fear is a part of life. The truth is we're born with only two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That means every other fear that you and I have, we've learned. And it also means that they can be unlearned. And last week we gave you as your assignment a verse of scripture, which is a promise to help us overcome fear, Isaiah 41 verse 10, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so this week we're talking about taking risks because you see, everything we do in life involves risk. And so this week, I decided to do a big risk. I mean, I've been putting this off for a long time. I decided I'm going to go out and get some ink and get a tattoo like I've never had before in my life. It took a lot of courage for me to do that. The truth is, I don't have that much courage. There is no way that I'm going to take that big of a risk to get a tattoo. I'm a chicken on that, but at least I got your attention, hopefully. You see, everything that we do in life involves risk. The food we eat, it's a risk. Is it harmful? Is it contaminated? The air we breathe, is the ozone level too high? Driving to work, will we be involved in a traffic accident? Riding our bicycle, will we get run over by a car? If you're a doctor and you do a surgery and there's complications, will they sue you? Every profession has risk. What do you think is the highest risk profession in the United States? Believe it or not, it is loggers and lumberjacks, by far the riskiest profession. Speaking of risk, when Fred Smith was a young man named 28 years of age, all of his friends thought he was crazy when he decided that he would try to start an overnight package delivery company. And so at 28, he risked his entire family inheritance of $4 million to buy some small corporate jets to begin what is now known as Federal Express. $4 million investment. Do you know how many packages they hauled the first night? Six. Six passages. And yet it ended up being a multi-billion dollar industry, all because a young man named Fred was willing to step out and risk everything that he had. Well, I want to talk to you about becoming courageous in your spiritual life, because if we're going to show courage in our spiritual life, we've got to be willing to take some risk and step out in faith. Because you say, I want my faith to grow, then you got to take more risk. Because faith and risk are closely intertwined. There's a sign on the Alaskan Highway that reads this: choose your rut carefully because you're going to be in it for the next 200 miles. A lot of Christians go through a rut living their lives. They go through life, same thing, living in a rut. They're afraid to risk. They're afraid to change. They're afraid to grow spiritually. And I want you to know the Christian life was not designed to be boring and monotonous. The Christian life was designed to be an adventure. There once was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And when one day he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he really never lived, they claimed he never died. Today I want to share some principles that I believe will help you and give you courage to take your faith to the next level. Number one, don't let your age hold you back. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. I don't know whether you're old enough to remember several years ago when Columbine High School was attacked and some guys carrying guns, some young gunmen, two young gunmen, approached a young high school girl named Cassie Barnall. And they said to her, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And they shot her and killed her for her faith. And it was weeks later that her pastor, Dave McPherson, said this. He said, "The world looked at Cassie's yes of April 20th, but we need to look at her yes that she said day after day and month after month before giving that final answer," end of quote. What is he saying? He said because of her church and because of her parents' faith, she had developed a strong faith. She had a lot of courage a lot younger before she reached that fateful day as a high school student. And that's why she was able to step out and risk her life for Jesus Christ. I want you to know I'm encouraged by the young people that we have on all of our campuses. They're doing some significant things for Jesus Christ. And no matter how old they are, they're not waiting to be the church of the future. They're saying we're going to make a difference today. They're taking risks. Some of our high school students are forming Bible clubs on their own campuses. They're not just praying around the pole once a year, but they're doing that on a regular basis. They're inviting their friends to church. They're standing up boldly for their faith. They have the courage to say no when their friends want them to get involved in harmful habits. Some of them even have given up their vacation to go on mission trips and experience what Jesus Christ is doing. I believe a major battleground that's been going on for years in the school system and also in our universities is a battle over a biblical worldview. What is our worldview? And I want you to know we're doing everything we can at our church to prepare your young people to raise up and stand strong for Jesus Christ and impact the next generation. So I want to say to all of you adults on all of our campuses, if you see young people in the service, pray for them. After the service, go up to them, encourage them, saying, man, you are making a difference. Encourage them when you see them serve and making a difference. You see, if you look in the bulletin insert today on all of our campuses, you're going to see hundreds of names of people that made decisions for Christ and were baptized, and hundreds of those, a large majority, were young people that made a decision in our summer camps. They said, we want to make a difference. And I want to say to young people on all of our campuses, just because you're young does not mean that you can't be a risk taker for Jesus Christ. Secondly, don't back away from opportunities. Bible says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. You see, when opportunities come your way, it gives us some advice. It says, be careful. It says, be wise. Use some discernment. But if the opportunity comes, take advantage of it and go for it. The photographer for a national magazine was assigned to shoot a large forest fire. He was told that there was a small plane that would be waiting for him at the airport. And so he ran home, got his photography gear, jumped in his car, drove to the airport, saw the plane, got out, run out to the airplane, jumped in, said to the pilot, let's go. And the plane took off. He said, I want you to fly over the north side of the fire and make some low swoops and get as close as you can to the fire. And the nervous pilot said, why? He said, because I'm a professional photographer and I get paid big money if I can bring in some excellent pictures. And after a long pause, the nervous pilot said, you mean you're not my flight instructor? Talk about taking risk. Some of you maybe are here today and you've taken advantage of opportunities that were placed before you. Things that you said, these are before me, I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity, but things didn't turn out like you planned. Or maybe some of you are dealing with feelings of failure and discouragement, and that's causing you to lose your confidence and your courage. Or maybe some of you are here and you'd say, well, wait a minute, I didn't make really wise choices when I was younger, and I'm still feeling the consequence of those decisions. Or you'd say, Pastor Don, I've just gone through a divorce, and I feel like a failure. Or I've spent some time in prison and no one would ever hire me. Or I've wasted a part of my life. Why in the world should I try to change now? And I want to tell you, if you always wait for ideal conditions before you take a risk, you'll never do anything. Because opportunities rarely come at the best time and in the best place. And that's why when you step out and take a risk, I guarantee you, you will face uncertainty. The greater the risk, the greater uncertainty, the greater faith that's required. The problem is, as Christians, most of us have a love-hate relationship with uncertainty. You see, we hate the bad things that unexpectedly happen to us. On the other hand, we love the good things that unexpectedly happen to us. Problem is, you can't have it both ways. Faith causes us to trust in God regardless of the uncertainty. And the trouble is, uncertainty usually comes during a crisis in our life. And so if you're a Christian, if you're one of our campuses today, I'm going to tell you, you're always in a crisis. In fact, you're probably just coming out of a crisis, or you're in the middle of the crisis, or I'm sorry, you're probably going to be headed into a crisis. John Ortberg, a pastor in California, said he was once a part of a survey on spiritual formation, and they asked thousands of people a questionnaire, and they said, what happened in your life to contribute the most to your spiritual growth? What was the number one contributor to spiritual growth? And they were surprised by the outcome. The number one contributor to spiritual growth was not transformational Bible teaching. It was not being in a small group. It was not reading deep theological books. It was not even attending energetic, evangelistic worship experiences. What was the key to spiritual transformation and growth? Believe it or not, the number one answer, it was going through suffering. People said they grew more in their Christian walk through suffering and pain and loss than in any other time. And that's why I want to say to all of you, that's why we encourage you, we want you to get connected in a neighborhood group. You know why? Because in normal times, community blesses you. When things are going great and you have friends and people around you that are encouraging you and praying for you, I mean, they just bless you. But when you're going through a crisis, it's that connection of the friends that are praying for you and helping you that literally will save your life. So I want to say, don't back away from opportunities that God places before you. Your opportunity could be next door. It could be across the hall in the office complex. It could be in your classroom. Number three, if you're going to risk, don't hang on to past mistakes. David said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. But then I acknowledged my sin to you, to God, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's standard. We've all made mistakes. We all have a defective past. So what do you do with past mistakes? Look at the scripture again. Number one, we acknowledge. I acknowledge my sin to the Lord. In other words, we say, God, I made a mistake. Then what happens? We confess to the Lord. We take full responsibility for our actions. And once we do then what? We're able to accept the forgiveness of Almighty God for our mistakes. Listen. As long as you hang on to your past mistakes, it's difficult to get up enough courage to risk again. I'll repeat that. As long as you hang on to your past mistakes and shortcomings, it will be difficult to get up enough courage to risk again. And that's why we have to make a choice in our life every day. Are we going to recall all the past, or are we going to release the past to God? And that's why I'm a strong believer in how you talk to yourself. How do you talk to yourself? Do you realize outside of God, you are the most important person you talk to every day? What do you tell yourself? When you get up every day, do you say, man, I'm a sinner, I'm a failure, I've messed up, there's no way that God could use me? That's the wrong self-talk. Or do you get up every day and say, yes, I made mistakes, I'm struggling, but my past has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the best is yet to come. It's totally different talk. And outside of God, you should talk to every day. Again, the next person that's most important is, how do you talk to yourself? What areas of your life are you afraid to release to God? What failures of the past are you hanging on to that's keeping you from moving forward in your faith? I had the opportunity this week to sit down with some CCV members named Rob and Lisa Lejeune, and I asked them, how in the world have you been able to come, some of your struggles, some of the risks that you've taken and you've lost, how in the world can you continually trust God and take more and more risk? Listen to their story. Rob and Lisa, thanks today for just having a chance to visit with me. Tell me a little bit about your family, your marriage, how long you've been going to CCV. Rob?
Well, we've been married 35 years. We have 7 children. I was married before, so it's a blended family. Been going to CCV for 20 years. We love going to CCV.
Okay. As I said, we're talking about risk, and you guys have risk. You're a risk taker, you're an entrepreneur, and you've gone through some great times and some low times. Would you mind sharing some of those risks and how it worked out?
Well, there was a time in my life that I wasn't following Jesus. There was a time in my life that I didn't care about my wife, my relationship with her, didn't care about my relationships with business. I was driven. I cared about money, fortune, and fame. And that's just the way I drove my life. And it got to a point where my relationships were falling apart. My marriage was a wreck. And, you know, I just came to the point I had to draw a line in the sand and make a decision to either go in the way of Jesus or go in the way that I've been going.
Okay. And so you drew the line in the sand. What happened after that?
I started picking up the Bible. I didn't know what to do in the Bible. I just started picking it up and reading a verse here and a verse there, and I knew I needed to go to church, and so we started going to CCV. My relationship with my wife started getting better. All of a sudden, my relationships with my kids got better.
Okay. Any failures along that way? Because a lot of times people think, you know, when I become a Christian and I give my life to Christ, man, everything's just perfect. But I know for risk takers a lot, there's winning and there's losing. There's ups and downs. Can you share a struggle maybe you went through?
Well, the one struggle is right when I became a Christian, we lost everything. We lost our home. We lost all our vehicles. We didn't file bankruptcy, but we had to start over.
So here you become a Christian, you've lost everything, you're kind of starting over. What's happened since then, Lisa?
Well, we started a business and it flourished, and we ended up selling it and making a lot of money from it. And I actually thought that what we had, we would always have. And God, in 2008, changed that for me, and He made me realize that everything is His. We went from having millions of dollars to, I walked out to Rob one day and said, we have $262 to our name. And I opened my Bible the next day to Psalms, where it talked about our forefathers trusted in you. And suddenly I realized I spent most of my life relying on me and relying on Rob. And I had to get to the point of saying, God, I have to trust you for everything, for financially, for everything in our life. And so it was, I would never go back. Like if someone said, would you like your money back? I wouldn't do it because of everything I've learned on what it means to trust God.
Now, let me ask you a follow-up question on that, because there's probably some ladies in our campuses that are saying, oh my gosh, I live with a risk taker and he's driving me nuts. What's some of the advice you would give to spouses that are married to a risk taker?
It's terrifying. I mean, so I don't even mean that mean, but it really is. And I've had to learn, I'm gonna trust God. So I turn my whole attention to, okay, God, you change his heart, or you change my heart, or you change their heart. Like, I can't worry about it, or I would be an anxious mess. And I think the more you add God into your situation, the more courage you'll have. Once you start reading and knowing him and understanding he's a part of your life, the sky's the limit.
And so help some of the guys here that might be risk takers, because they might have a wife that might not want to go with them on some of these risks. How important is it to have a spouse that backs you and you can counsel with and talk to when you get ready to try it again after you fail?
I think that's everything, Don. I think it's everything to have a spouse that supports you. Now, that doesn't mean that she doesn't ask me some tough questions. Rob, hey, what are you thinking here? How are we going to be able to afford this? So the questions are asked, but I think it's a give and take, and we have to work together as husband and wife, and I have to show her respect as she shows me, and we got to work through it together.
So with all the people listening to this interview on all of our campuses today, they're in different stages of their spiritual walk. What encouragement would you give to people listening today to maybe take a risk or to be able to trust God with more courage? What would you say to them?
I'd say that, you know, first of all, if the opportunity's there and there's safety in a multitude of counselors, talk to some people, get some counsel. But if the opportunity's there, take the risk, go ahead and go for it. But I would say courage would be to follow your dreams and never retreat. And I think that's key, is that once you make that decision to follow that dream, go for it and don't retreat.
I want to say, Rob and Lisa, thank you for sharing, because your story is going to be an encouragement to a lot of people today at CCV. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Courage, Rob said, is having the dream to go for it and not look back. How's courage developed? Well, no matter what your age, don't let your age hold you back. Don't back away from the opportunities that come your way. Thirdly, don't hang on to those past mistakes. Let them go. Fourthly, don't quit too soon. Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful, meaning God, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, that means he was too old to have kids, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. You see, retirement is often a risk for many older people because it brings about a major change in our lifestyle. Because if we're not careful, our self-worth is in our job or our career, or then it moves to our children or our grandchildren, and we have to learn, how can we change from making money to make a difference? How can we change from moving success to being significant? Those are the struggles we go through as we get older. An elderly lady went to the mall and did her shopping, and she came out with her shopping bag. She walked to her car, and as she got close to her car, she noticed there was some guys in her car. So she put her bags down, and she pulled out her handgun, and she walked up, and she said, "Get out of my car." And the young guys were scared to death. They were caught off guard. They jumped out and ran as fast as they could. She put her gun back. She put her bags in the back seat. She got in the front seat. Only one small problem. The key did not fit in the ignition. You see, she had the identical car, but her car was five spots over instead of being in that space. Well, she didn't know what to do, so she got the bags out of their car. She went over and put them in the back of her car, put the key in, it started, and she decided to drive to the police station and tell them what happened. So she got there. She asked to speak to a sergeant. He came out, and she began to tell him exactly what happened, and he started laughing. And then he said, "Look over there," and over farther at the counter, there was four young men, and they were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman. End of the story is, no charges were filed. So what's the moral of the story? Look out for an old gun-carrying woman. Your life could be at risk. Don't quit too soon. People today are living longer. In fact, if you look today, the average life expectancy in America is almost 80 years old. That means that we have 15 to 20 years beyond retirement to do great things for the Lord. And my advice, if you're approaching those retirement years or you've already retired, don't retire. Instead, reload. How do you do that? Well, you got to get a new dream. You got to get a new direction for your life. You got to find ways that you can use your gifts and abilities to minister to other people around you. And praise God for the retired people at CCV that help out in so many of our campuses week after week. We have retired people that go on short-term mission trips. They're involved in our children's ministry. They're mentoring young students. They're mentoring young couples. On almost every campus, we have retirees that come every week, and they do campus maintenance and help out. We have people, retirees, for years that are putting the bulletins together every week. Volunteers and retirees meet, and all the children's materials, all the nursery stuff, they put that together every week. They're hosting and leading neighborhood groups. They're serving. They're preparing communion. They're ushering. They're involved in the prayer ministry. They're financial counselors. And the list goes on and on and on, because they didn't say, "Pastor Don, I've already put in my time." Instead, they say, "Now I have more time. Where do you need me?" I believe one of the greatest challenges for the church of the future, is to remind us that life is short and we need to continually live in the light of eternity. There's two ways to approach life. One, you can say, you know what? We're living today in the land of the living and we're preparing for the dying. In other words, we go around life, you grab all the gusto you can because this is this one life to live and soon we're going to die. Or you can have a different perspective and say, no, we're living in the land of the dying. Everything on here is short and we're really preparing to really live for eternal life. And so that makes a total difference on how you live your life. Do you see your life as everything is here and then you're going to die? Or do you see yourself that what we're doing here is short and how we live here makes a difference of how we will live there? When you live in the light of eternity, your values change. You use your time differently. You use your resources different. You use your abilities different. And you find yourself placing a high premium on relationships and character, and you put a lower value on fame and wealth and achievements. Matthew Henry said, quote, "It ought to be the business of every day to prepare for the final day." I want to repeat that. It ought to be the business of every day. In other words, every day we ought to get up and be prepared for the day that we meet Jesus Christ face to face. But if we're not careful, even as Christians, we spend, what, 10, 15 years doing what? Just preparing to have enough money for our college kids' education. Or if we're not careful, we spend so many years just so we can enjoy empty nesting. Or we work hard so that we can finally retire. Listen, he's right. As believers in Jesus Christ, our business every day ought to be doing everything we can to prepare for our final day. So I want to say to you, if you're approaching retirement, if you're in retirement, don't quit too soon. You have so much to give. Give your attention, give your wisdom, give your abilities, give your best years to the Lord. Number five, if you want to take some risk, don't miss God's purpose for your life. Here's what God said to Pharaoh. I raised you up for this very purpose. What was it? That I might display my power in you and my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You see, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment or your happiness or even your peace of mind. If you want to know why God placed you on this earth, you've got to begin with God. In the beginning, God, you begin with God and his purpose for your life. You say, well, what's our purpose? Well, look at the scripture again. Number one, that we might proclaim God's power through us. What do you mean? When people look at our family, our marriage, our life, when they look at our business, they're able to see Jesus Christ and his values through everything that we do. And when we do that, his power is displayed through us. Also, he says that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. In other words, do you spend most of your life trying to make a name for yourself, or do you spend your life trying to give Almighty God a good name? You need to constantly rethink your purpose. Or if you're not careful, you'll live your life with regrets. You say, what do you mean? If you don't get up every day or continually ask yourself, God, why am I here? What's my purpose? You'll live your life with regrets. Because you know what happens? The older you get, you'll look back and you'll say, oh, if I would have only done this differently. If I would have only made it a priority for my kids to go with me in church. If I would have only made a priority to be the spiritual leader and lead in my family. If I would have only. Then we go back to that saying that I use. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. Faith looks ahead. And if we do not every day say, God, what's my purpose? What do you want me to do? We will always go back to the sorrow and the things we should have done instead of getting up every day and say, God, I want to live by faith. Faith looks ahead. And being courageous as a believer is all about looking ahead in faith. And being courageous involves taking some risk. You know why? There's no such thing as a risk-free faith. You can't experience success without risking failure. You can't take your faith to the next level without taking some risk and forcing yourself to put your total trust in Almighty God. So what's the takeaway today for all of our campuses? Here it is. What are you lacking? Where are you lacking courage in your spiritual walk? Write that down. Where are you lacking some courage in your spiritual walk? Or to say it a different way, where are you afraid to take a risk? Hang with me on all of our campuses, and I'll maybe write one thing down after that I'm going to say. Where do you need to take courage? Maybe it's in sharing your faith. You're scared to death to share your faith because somebody might ask you a question that you won't know the answer. That happens to me a lot. I don't know all the answers. But you share your faith. Pray for more boldness. Or maybe for you, you need some courage and trust in God with your finances. You really don't understand how 90% with God goes farther than 100% without God. Or maybe for you, it is living a sexually pure life. You need the courage to do what you know God wants you to do. And if you're not married, you're going to stay sexually pure until you're married. Or if you are married, you're going to be sexually pure to your spouse. Maybe that's the courage you need. Or maybe you're a student and you're just going back to school and you need the courage to stand strong on your campus against peer pressure that want you to do the wrong thing. Or maybe the courage for some of you men in our campuses is you need to be the spiritual leader. You need the courage to step up to the plate and say, you know what? I'm going to start by example leading my family and my kids to put Jesus Christ first, and it all begins with you. Or maybe you're saying, I need to trust God with my future. I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm worried to death. God, I need to release my future to you. What area of your life are you lacking courage and you're afraid to risk God? Because you see, you've got to be willing to take some risk if you want to grow in your faith. Let's pray. Lord God, today, we're all in different levels of spiritual maturity. And the truth is, some of us, the idea of taking risks in life or in our Christian walk just scares us to death. For others, it amps us up because we live on the edge and we like challenges. And the rest of us are somewhere in between. Lord, I pray today that we wouldn't just think about the risks that we take in life, but we're really talking today about the courage to take the next step spiritually, so that when people see us, they can see Jesus Christ living within us. So Lord, give us some courage. Challenge us all to go to the next level and trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.